All right. Next, we have Closet Bad Boy. When do you feel most alive? When do I feel most alive? I guess when I'm having a really great conversation with somebody, getting to know them, or sharing stories and just connecting with somebody, feeling that camaraderie, that closeness, that intimacy. I think that's when I feel the most alive. If you had to lose one sense, what would it be and why? Oh man. This one's tough. So there was this movie that, God, I can't think of it now. I want to say maybe Rose Byrne was in it. That sounds wrong, but I'm pulling up her IMDb right now. She only has 62 credits. It should go by fast. She was in I Love You, Daddy. That's sad. So there was this movie. It was a British film, I think. And it, oh, I didn't know she was in Casanova. Sorry. It was about London. Or like a small, I think it was in London. And everybody starts losing their senses one by one. And I think first that went was hearing, and then, you know what? Hold on. I'll be right back. I'm gonna Google it. All right. The film is called Perfect Sense. It is a science fiction drama starring Ava Green and Ewan McGregor, shot in Glasgow, Mexico City, and Kenya, premiered at the 2011 Sundance Film Festival. So basically, an epidemic breaks out worldwide where one by one, humankind starts to lose their sensory perceptions. It focuses on Ava Green and Ewan McGregor's characters. It starts out with them losing sense of smell, and then sense of taste, and then hearing, and then I'll leave the ending unspoiled. But it's just how they deal with losing their senses, and the main male character, Ewan McGregor, he is a chef, and so he is struggling to make food for people without the sense of smell or taste. And so if I had to lose one, it would be smell. While I love smells, you can still taste a little bit without it. And then there's also the textures of food. So crunchy, soft, smooshy, bubbly. Like you can still get different sensations from it. So I would choose that. I love music and I love movies and I love TV and the sensation of touch. It's just, I would hate to lose any, but if I had to lose one, it would be smell. Next, if you could invite anyone to dinner, who would you choose as your dinner guest? Oh man. I think dinner with Michelle Obama would be amazing. Or Ellen DeGeneres. Or David Harbour from Stranger Things. He seems like a cool cat. So yeah, one of those three probably. What accomplishment are you most proud of? I have written a 110,000 word novel. Actually, I think it's 117,000. Between there. And I self-published it, and I've not sold any copies outside of my friends and family, but I have like 75 copies left, and they are sitting right next to me, but I'm really proud of it. It was a lot of effort to write it and to edit it and to edit it again, and then there's still a fucking typo, and I have no idea what the word is supposed to be, but I'm really proud of it. I feel like I did very well developing the characters and moving the plot along and leaving subtle hints throughout without being too obvious. So I'm really proud of that. And lastly, from Closet Boy, what is your favorite ice cream flavor and would you use it during sex? I really like cookies and cream. I know that's basic. Yeah, basic. But it's so good. And I don't know. It's delicious. Would I use it during sex? Hells no. Do not bring food into sex. That's gonna seem very contradictory here soon. All right, moving on. We've got Kelly T. Jones with some questions. The first one, how many unsolicited dick pics do you get? Surprisingly, none. I get no unsolicited dick pics. And I don't know if it's like, am I putting something out there that like men just don't care to be creepy? Or, or what? Like, I get offers, but it's offers, which is nice. And I never accept the offers. I'm not opposed to it. It's just, it doesn't happen. Now, hand pics, I would love. If I got unsolicited hand pics, they wouldn't be unsolicited at this point. Send me pictures of your hands doing things, not necessarily touching your dick, but like holding a cup of coffee or writing or pretending to choke me. Do it. I dare you. Next question. What do you think of your listeners getting off to your voice audios? What does it do for you? I think it's great. I really enjoy it. It turns me on. I think that it's hot. I'm glad that you find my voice arousing. Yeah. Would you consider a boob job? No. I like my boobs how they are. What's the biggest dildo you've ever taken? It was one purchased for me as a gift, and it's by far the biggest I've ever had inside me. 5.5 inches long and 1.6 inches in diameter. And it's big and it hurts and I have to work up to it. What is your favorite way to have an orgasm? This is a repeat question, but I'll answer it here just in case you're not listening to the other sections. I like to have a partner on the other end of the phone. I do enjoy that intimacy. If that's not an option, then I will, you know, throw in an audio or use my imagination in an audio. And if all else fails, I'll just watch porn and do it quick and get it over with. But I always have to have implements. I don't always. Fingers are fine, but toys vibrate so well. So yeah. high score for orgasms in one night? Honestly, I have no idea. There's an audio that I have where someone said that they counted and it was like 200 something. That seems low, but a strong possibility. I'm going to say well above 200. It's just, it's a thing. Favorite kind of lingerie? I don't really have a favorite kind. I guess teddies are nice. Soft lace, you know, whatever. Do you enjoy being a kind of sexual demigod? I honestly, I don't feel like I am. I feel honored every time somebody tells me they've listened to an audio. I don't like my voice personally. I know that others do. And I don't disbelieve them. I find it shocking every time. Like, oh wow, you actually think that I sound good? That's very sweet of you. What famous person would you keep as your personal sex slave? They're consenting, right? Like they're 100% on board with it. If they are, well, if they're not, then no one. But if they are, I would say probably James McAvoy, Chris Evans, Jared Padalecki. I don't know. Probably them. How old were you when you lost your virginity and what was it like? I was like 19 or 20. It was okay. I didn't come. It didn't hurt. It was just okay. It wasn't mind-blowing or earth-shattering or life-changing. It was just, oh, okay. So, what is your favorite Dr. Seuss book? It's that one, I think it's maybe, sorry. If I Ran a Zoo, that's it. If I Ran the Zoo by Dr. Seuss, that's my favorite one. Next question. Someone has said above, illegal bandit, that your safe word is cabbage. What was the first time you used your safe word? What was going on and what was going through your mind? Wow, the first time I used my safe word? Basically, the only time that I've ever needed to use my safe words, whatever, is if I'm done, like, my body's worn out, I'm done, I can't go anymore, and I have to stop. I can't breathe, or I'm too sore, so I have to use it to stop. So I don't remember the first time I ever used it, so I can't make an audio of it. That's the next question. Would you consider making an audio of it? And then the next question, have you ever had a time where you wished you would have used your safe word sooner? I've never done anything where I needed it sooner. It's always just, okay, I can't come anymore. We have to stop this because if you keep going, it's just going to hurt in not a fun way anymore. So, yeah. Have you ever made someone else use a safe word? What was going on? I haven't. Never needed a safe word used. How do you balance your exhibitionism and privacy? I only ever record when I'm alone. I'm not necessarily somebody that's into, like, being watched, like, actually being watched. Like, I couldn't be a cam girl. I'm not into that, per se. I've done cam sex before, like, when I was, like, 19. But that was different. That was back in the day. And it was only ever with one person. Next question. Are there things you feel you can do in an audio that you don't in real life? A lot of things. I'm not going to shatter the illusion of anything. But those that know me well and know my audios know the things that I do in audios that I wouldn't necessarily do in real life. It's not a lot of things. It's maybe just like one or two. But yeah. Next question. Favorite cartoon show when you were a kid? I really loved Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Boy Meets World. And then as far as cartoons, I really loved Johnny Bravo. God damn it. And the Powerpuff Girls and Dexter's Laboratory and Amelie du Fromage. I also really liked the Animaniacs, and I loved Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I really liked Double Dare and Guts and Legends of the Hidden Temple. That was my jam. And I loved, like, basically anything on, like, Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network. Like, I loved the Rugrats, and I loved CatDog and Angry Beavers. Oh, and, oh my god, Kablam was so good. Just for one. I can't pick one. I'm greedy. Oh, geez, so long. How old were you the first time you saw porn? How did it happen? I don't remember how old I was. I was young, maybe like 12. There was a video found in the basement, and my older siblings and their friends put it on, and I was hiding behind the couch, and I was disgusted, and I threw up. Where do you find inspiration for your audios? A lot of different places. I like to see, like, the requests that are done, and I take inspiration from those. Also, like, movies and my own head. Usually it's what I think is hot. So, it's normally what I want. Normally, like 9 times out of 10, it's personal fantasies. And lastly, favorite breakfast cereal. I really like Reese's Puffs is the only thing coming to mind. I'm not a big breakfast cereal person. So I'll say Reese's Puffs. All right. Next we have Mr. Harcourt. So First question, is your flare a reference to BioShock? Yes, it is. And if so, what type of unrestricted science experiments would you conduct in Rapture? If not, what type of unrestricted science experiments would you run in the real world? I feel like I wouldn't run any of the science experiments, but I would definitely volunteer to be a subject, like a test subject. Like, I'd be all about whatever experimental plasmid they wanted to give me. I've always wanted to shoot flames from my I've always wanted to shoot flames from my hands. So that one, close to my heart. So yeah, but in the real world, what science experiment would I run? I would say like the effects of liquid caffeine injected directly into the bloodstream. How would that fare in the body? Human trials begin soon. Do you have a large dream project in mind? If you had unlimited money and time and money, what would the end result look like? I don't. I don't know. I guess mine are always so boring. Like, I would love to be able to study the effects of, like, there's already so many studies on it already, like the correlation between socioeconomic standings and backgrounds versus like reading levels and test scores and oral competency, things like that, being able to gauge whether or not if you have a student who eats breakfast regularly every single day, who has, both parents at home or two legal guardians, at home, a stable home environment, no pressures of debt or where will our next meal come from, or do we have to choose between ramen or gas for the vehicles? And how that affects their reading levels, their competencies, their testing, their homework completion versus a student that, has those limitations, that comes from, a family where they don't live with their parents or don't live with two legal guardians, whether they live with just one parent or they live with a grandparent or an aunt. Or an uncle, or maybe their eldest sibling has taken them into their home. How does that affect it? And then also, oh, it would be interesting to see whether you, if you had two students who had the same socioeconomic background and same similar home lives, like two parents or two legal guardians at home sharing parental duties, and they had, similar learning styles, and they had, they had access to the same technology, the same books. If they had everything the same, but one was a biological child and one was adopted, would that play any sort of factor into their achievement scores, their success or failures? How would that factor into anything? And would it at all? So, wow. I think that would be really interesting to see those different things. Now, being able to find subjects that fit all of that criteria and that mesh well, that would be extremely difficult, because you would also have to find it within the same community, because you couldn't have child A from New York City And then child B from Des Moines, Iowa, because the cultures themselves in those cities are so different that that alone would skew the results. So it would be interesting to see. Next question. What is your favorite obscure film? I really, really, really love Pan's Labyrinth. It's a Guillermo del Toro film. It is amazing. It's like sci-fi fantasy set in World War II with Nazis and this little girl. And then the fantastical beasts and the settings and the story. It's so wonderful. It is subtitled. It's in Spanish. Pretty sure it's in Spanish. They're in Nazi Germany. Maybe it's in German. Been a long time since I've seen it. I feel like it's in Spanish, though. Anyway, that's probably my favorite obscure film. Or Pulse. It stars Kristen Bell, and I think Ian Somerhalder's in it. I think so. Anyway, and Christina Milian. It's a horror film, and it's so underappreciated. Last question. Which supernatural phenomenon or creature would you take an aspect power from? What would it be, and how would you utilize it in your everyday life? So, a supernatural phenomenon or creature, what aspect or power? Well, I would take immortality from vampires, and I would live forever, and I could not die. And I would just take the immortality and not the nature balance where I couldn't walk in the sun or that a stake through the heart could kill me because I'm being greedy. So deal with it. All right. Next up, we have Mr. Licorice Returns. The closest object to your left is now your superpower. What is it, and how will you use it to benefit mankind? It's my coffee. So I'm going to say energy. Is that a superpower? Energy? Like, energy? No. I'm going to benefit mankind by making all the tired people energized. God damn it. The only other thing to my left is sriracha, and that's spicy, and I feel like I already do that, babe. Oh my god, that was so cheesy. What is the craziest audio you would like to be able to record? You'd have all the sound effects and privacy required to make it happen. I would love to record a torture audio. And when I say torture, I don't mean like bound to a chair and like cutting. Like, I'm not into that. I'm not into fear play or blood play or anything like that. I mean like relentlessly fucked by a fucking machine nonstop until I have to use a safe word multiple times in order for it to stop. Like, I don't know how that would go in an audio, but that's what I want. Without needing to worry over money or safety, where is the place you would like to travel to the most? I would love to spend like a year in Italy. Just spending time in each city and making my way from, you know, the top all the way down to the bottom of the boot. I would love to explore every city, all of the little countryside villages and towns, and, you know, try fresh mozzarella and fresh noodles and gnocchi, and just, I would love to just immerse myself in their culture. Plus, I feel like a year I would be able to speak pretty decent casual Italian at that point. I just think it would be a lot of fun. It's always been my dream. My mom is like 50% Italian. My grandpa is 100%. He's first generation American. Like, his 28 brothers and sisters were all born in Italy, and I would just love to go and explore and just be there and see it and live it. I think that would be amazing. All right, next we have, oops, FX, they're not a type. The next set of questions are from Doc Spinkman. Have you always been so quick to get off, or was that a skill you acquired somewhere along the way? I don't think I've always been so quick to get off. I think that, you know, when you're first starting out doing stuff to yourself, getting things done by other people, it takes a while to learn your body, to learn what you like the best. And so I think that it didn't take me like hours, but it seemed like learning, like what visual or auditory triggers that you needed in order to expedite the process, you know, learning those helped. So I guess it was a skill I acquired along the way. Number two, what's your favorite kind of apple? My favorite kind of apple would be a Fiji. They're sweet and yet tart and crisp and so juicy. So I guess a Fiji apple. Number three, what's the best kind of pet and why is it a dog? It's not a dog. It's a fucking cat, and you know that. You know my kitties are the best kitties in the whole world. Isn't that right, Ward? Ward, I'm talking to you. They're both just sleeping. They're being lazy. Apparently me talking all this time is boring to them. Like right now, Sky is right here, but she doesn't meow unless she's like, oh, she's so sleepy. But sorry, I got distracted by the cat. So the best kind of pet, and why is it a dog? It's not a dog. It's kitties, and it's my kitties. And you can be my best kind of pet. Number four, what's the appeal of the terrible shows you watch? I know it's tricky to convey tone over text, but I'm genuinely curious. Is it an ironic thing? Is it because they're straightforward and low effort so you can just turn your brain off and chill? Do you genuinely enjoy them and it's just a matter of differing tastes? Sort of a one man's garbage type of deal? So, obviously not everybody's going to agree on shows, Doc Spankman. But, yeah, differing tastes. I think that, you know, the shows that I watch are intriguing. They're enthralling. They speak to me on thematic levels. Now, if you're talking about terrible shows, such as, like, the reality shows or things like that, a lot of times I'll watch a show if, like, I want to be texting people or browsing Reddit or on Tumblr or on Facebook or playing another game. So I put something on for noise. For noise. So there are shows where I put them on just so that I have noise in the background. Silly jokes to laugh at. Things like that. Last question. What's it like being nocturnal? I didn't know I was. I do prefer the night. I'm not a big fan of the sun. It hurts my eyes. But it is nice. It's quiet. I like the quiet. Yeah. All right. Next we have from Cardinal Sin. The first question, if you could have someone make a game that combined two different games, like a peanut butter cup, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter. No, you got your peanut butter on my chocolate. Which two games would you put together? So this answer is going to sound probably lame or silly or whatever, but I would definitely combine, like, World of Warcraft or, like, the Elder Scrolls Online or League of Legends, like, those MMORPG games with Fallout. I want a multiplayer Fallout so bad. Like, the Elder Scrolls Online is okay. It's definitely not one where you can do a lot of stuff on your own. You have to have people helping you, except for the main storyline. You have to do that on your own. And I hate that. And then in the Elder Scrolls, like, I was trying to do this quest. My problem with open world RPGs like that is anytime there's a quest available, I get it. So I was taken to, like, this high level region, and I started getting all these quests, and I had played maybe like 2 hours of the game altogether. And then I was playing with a friend, and he took me to, like, this high level area, and I start accepting all of these quests. And so I'm trying to, like, level up and clear my quest log. And I choose a quest that sounds easiest to do. I'm like, oh, okay. And I looked on my map and it looked fairly close. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll just do that. And I kept walking. And I kept walking. And then he leaves. And then I keep walking. And I'm fighting. And I'm walking. And 4 hours later, I'm nowhere near where I need to be. I still have, like, half of the world left to walk. I've gotten, like, 40 new quests. I've leveled up once. I've died, like, 100 times. And I'm still nowhere near just talking to this person for the next part of the quest. I haven't played it in months. And that was the last time I played it. I was so, like, butthurt about it. But then when I played WoW, you know, at the beginning, I never had a clan. Or is that what they're called? A guild. That's what they're called. I was never part of a guild. My friend was, but she was, like, max level and on all of her characters, and everybody in the guild was max level and blah, blah, blah. But I was able to do the quests and actually progress and level up and get new items. And I was alone, but doing it effectively. And then, you know, finding a group and, like,
I wanted to do a particular quest and you had to have X amount of people. Well, all I had to do was in the global chat say, hey, I need to do this quest. Anyone else? And boom, we had a full group. Like, I think there was six of us all together. So incorporating that, like, game style, those game mechanics, not the mechanics per se, but incorporating that into the Fallout world, I think it would be amazing. Like, being able to play as a raider. They kind of did that with the Nuka World add-on, the DLC for Fallout 4, but it was still you and your back history just being a raider, which is not, that's not what I'd want. Like, Fallout 4 has its pitfalls, but I love it. It's an amazing game. I can see fault within the Fallout series, but I also love them so much. But with Fallout 4, it was less of an RPG than I normally am used to. With Fallout 3, you are in the vault, you're born, you grow up, you're in the vault, and you don't have, like, this predetermined path. You take the goat, and then you can still change your tagged skills, and, you know, you're an adolescent, you're a teenager, you're a young adult. You're not this married couple with a child where one of you is the vet and the lawyer and you have, like, these predetermined intelligence or skill levels, like they have. You can't choose to have intelligence of one and take the skill of idiot if you're a lawyer. It doesn't make sense. It's limiting. And also, it's limiting to have that family already there. Like, a lot of your actions are based on trying to find your son and avenge the death of your husband or wife. And it makes it limiting in the sense that there are companions, there's romantic options, and there's your sole focus is because somebody murdered your spouse and kidnapped your child, your infant. Right there, that already limits you. Whereas in Fallout 3, it is like, oh, hey, I'm a vault dweller. I have a father. My mom died giving birth to me. My father is going out and he left the vault. Why? Where is he going? What is he doing? Why didn't he say goodbye to me? So you can start thinking about, okay, was he a bad father? Did I hate him? Like, you can add your own elements to it. And then we don't see how you interact with the other vault dwellers. And so you have that, you can be good, you could be evil, you could be neutral, and have it make sense because you're not pigeonholed into something. And then in New Vegas, courier, you can be a fucking idiot or the most intelligent person, and you could be super strong or super weak, or you could be super perceptive or have amazing agility or be on the opposite end of the spectrum, or you could be exceedingly charismatic or not, because you're a courier. Your job doesn't define you. It doesn't pigeonhole you into something. And so I think with Fallout 4, they did limit you in some respects, yes, afterwards you could choose to have intelligence of 1, strength of 10, but it doesn't make sense with the predetermined information that they gave you. Not the point. But, you know, being able to play as a raider, somebody who was born in the wasteland, somebody who was raised in a community who, you know, maybe you don't know your mother or your father, maybe you have a dozen siblings, you know, all of that stuff is not predetermined. Or you could play as an enclave soldier. You were born into it. You were raised as an enclave soldier. You eat, sleep, and breathe the enclave. And then you go out and you quest and you do these things. And you can either do them in an evil, enclave-y way, or you could do them in a good way. Maybe you want to subvert the expectations of what the enclave soldiers are typically perceived as. Or fucking playing, being a ghoul would be amazing. Maybe you were pre-war and the bombs fell and the radiation fucked with you and you lived during that nuclear winter. And, you know, you're 300 years old and your skin's half falling off and maybe you're sick and you're trying to find a way to slow down the radiation because you refuse to go feral or you don't want to become a glowing one. And or maybe you end up becoming a glowing one and that's like your superpower, like that's max level. Oh my God. It would be so fun. So World of Warcraft or other MMORPGs and Fallout. I want it. That was a long ramble on that. Next question. What is the TV series that you watched from beginning to end that you really wish you hadn't after it was over? I have two. The first one is called Me and Mrs. Jones. It is a British TV show. I think it's only 6 episodes, like 22 to 25 minutes a piece. It stars Robert Sheehan, and he's adorable. And it's not that it's a bad show. It's a fucking adorable show. It's so cute. He's like 19. He falls for his best friend's, well, his like friend's mom, and she's like maybe late 30s, early 40s. And it's just, it's, I'm super into that. Like it's so adorable. They're dynamic and it's so good. And like, she's got this like age appropriate boyfriend and he's going to propose. And, you know, she's been clear that she's with both of them. And, you know, eventually she's like, I need to choose the age-appropriate boyfriend or the, you know, the younger man that makes me feel most alive. She's in love. She realizes she's in love with one of them. She's having this conversation, I think, with her sister. And she's like, oh my God, I love him. And her sister's like, well, whoever it is, I don't really remember. It's been ages. Whoever it is like, you need to go to him now. And so we see the age-appropriate boyfriend on this rooftop terrace. With roses and candles and the ring on the table. And then we see the younger man and he's at home and he's got his phone and he's all like, Pouty McPouterson, is she going to choose me? And she gets to this turn, the turn that we know left is age appropriate, Wright is younger, and it shows her face, just her face, and we hear the turn signal, and it goes to black. No resolution, no idea. I've tweeted about it. I've asked about it. I want some resolution. I mean, I know who I would pick, but who did she pick? Did she go with age appropriate just because he's age appropriate? Did she go with younger man because that's who she's in love with? Who is she in love with? Who did she pick? And so that's why I wish I didn't watch all of them or it at all, because just that cliffhanger. Ugh. The other one is Lost, because I feel like the ending, sure, I get it, purgatory, that's fine. They all end up in heaven together, whatever. I can deal with that. But they had so many unanswered questions, and then in the last season, they make more, and they don't resolve them. And it's just, and I've watched Lost from start to finish 3 times, I think. And I still, because I figured first time, watched it as it was going on, I probably didn't catch stuff because there, you know, months in between each season. Then the second time I was like, okay, well, it's all on Netflix. Maybe I just didn't get it because I watched it too fast or I just missed something. So then the third time I watched it, I was like, nope, I'm still fucking lost. They didn't answer this, this, or this. So that would be that. Lost. Fuck Lost. But also, fuck Lost. You know what I mean? And number three, if you could have dinner with 3 famous, notable people, living or dead, along with a 4th who would be from a work of fiction, who would you choose? So the 3 famous people, alive or dead. Kristen Bell, because she is adorable, she is amazing, and she's hilarious, she's so compassionate, and just warm, and I feel like she would be great to have as a dinner guest. I want to say Chris Evans, but I know he has social anxiety. And I wouldn't want to do that to him. So instead, I'm going to say, instead, I guess I'll have to say Shakespeare. No, I changed my mind. Emily Dickinson. Her poems were so, like, just dark and depressing and yet inspirational, I guess. I don't know. Emily Dickinson. And then the 3rd celebrity or notable person, I guess I would have to say probably, I would love to have dinner with Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy. I think that it would be cool to ask him, like, some stuff about his music and his solo career and just, like, you know, if he feels like the soul punk era helped him mesh and connect better with Fall Out Boy. Did it allow them to explore new styles and types of music? So I think that would be really a great conversation. And plus, I feel like those 3 personalities would get along fairly well. And in a rotator, that's not what I want to say. An understudy, should one of the 3 not be able to appear, Mary Shelley. She is the OG goth, and I love it. She literally walked around with a calcified piece of her husband's heart after he died. Like, that is gothic goals. I feel like she would be fun to have as well. So yeah. And then the fourth, the fictional character, I would love to meet the Doctor. If I could pick a regeneration of the Doctor, I would pick 10. Because David Tennant is pretty, but also he's nerdy, he's quirky. I mean, yes, that is a Doctor, but like Tennant's representation of the Doctor was all of those things. And I think that it would be awesome to get him to come to dinner, you know, while Donna is off doing something. Like, I would want him during that time, during his traveling with Donna, because he's at his most lighthearted. He's at his strictly, I just want platonic. I don't want any romantic entanglements. I just want kinship, friendship, and I don't want to be alone. And so I think that that would be the perfect Doctor to have at dinner. And plus, him with any of the other three, four that I mentioned, I think would just be amazing. He would be so inquisitive. It would be great. And then my last question that I have is gone. Hold on, let me find it. Let's see. Oh, where did it go? It's anonymous, so hold on. Let's see. I'm gonna pause because this is way too much dead time. Okay, the last anonymous question is oh my god, where are the top three places you'd like to travel and why? So Italy, obviously, talked about that ad nauseum. Spend a year in Italy. I would love to go to Seattle. I think that, you know, birthplace of grunge, birthplace of Starbucks, fucking Pacific Northwest, rains 9 months out of the year. I mean, obviously not consecutively, it's accumulatively, but still. I think it would be a lot of fun to visit there. Plus Portland's nearby. The food scene in Portland, I've heard, is amazing. That's not my third and final place. The third place that I would love to visit are the Maldives, or the Maldives, depending on how you pronounce it. That's where they make desktop backgrounds. I don't know if you knew that. But, yeah, fucking amazing, fucking beautiful. I would love to go sit on a beach, drink a drink, a nice refreshing tropical drink, coconut water out of a coconut. Fuck, I don't know what they do. Water, that's fine too. And just, you know, whatever. Or, ooh, Australia would be amazing. Australia, New Zealand, I know they're different countries, not dumb. But they're right around each other, and if you're at one, you go to the other. That's just common sense. It's so expensive to go, and it takes like 3 days, and it's like, that's like, if I had 1 month left to live, I would liquidate assets, get rid of everything, spend the rest of my time in Australia, come home and die. That's what I would do. So yeah, Italy, Seattle or Portland, Maldives or Australia, New Zealand. That's a lot of places. That's not three. I have a really hard time with choosing three. I'm greedy. All right. Well, there you go. That is 2 hours of me blabbering nonstop, answering all the questions and trying my best to not ramble and not succeeding. I am going to go and I am going to drink a lot of water. My throat hurts. And I hope you found this enlightening. And I want to thank every single person who posted a question, who upped the post. You know, thank you for being a listener. Thank you for not listening but still asking questions. Thank you for help making this AMA amazing. And my voice is worn out. I feel like I just recorded like 7 audios in a row, which I kind of did. But I wasn't screaming while coming. So this is weird. I do hope you enjoyed the answers. If you listened to this all the way through, that is fucking amazing. And you are the true MVP. And you deserve all the things. If you put this on while doing homework or doing housework, like the dishes or cleaning or cooking, or while you were showering, getting ready for work or for bed or before bed, trying to help you sleep, I hope my rambling helped. And I hope you enjoyed it. And if you only listen to your sections and you're not hearing this part, but thank you for listening. And I hope that you liked my answers and that I answered them sufficiently. So I'm going to cut this off before it hits 2 hours. All right. Mwah. Love you guys. Bye.